goodness is an eternal continuum. From before time began, God, if there's any way to say it, God had been good. You know, before time began, when we began to mark time, then we can begin to mark event to just only to describe or to explain the goodness of God. The eternal counsel of God to bring us into his family, to give us this assurance that we can make heaven, is because of his goodness. Not because, you know, we've perfected our ways, we could walk uprightly and perfectly, not because of all of those reasons, but basically because God's goodness is upon us and he abides still forevermore. You know, the way the question came was like, I had to tell the person that, are you sure you are born again? And then the person said, okay, I'm born again. So the same way you are very sure and certain that you are born again, that same faith, that same assurance and confidence is what gives you that assurance that you are going to make heaven on the last day. Praise the Lord. All right, so good evening, everyone. I want to welcome us again to this Bible study. I want to appreciate us for, you know, staying through. We've had 5 series now, and this is the 6th series. Like I explained to us last week, that we're going to be doing a review today of what we've been talking about since the very first lesson, the very first lesson that we had. So today, I will attempt to just do a quick, you know, recap of what we've done so far. Pray I'm able to do that the next 20, 25 minutes so that we can have the next 20 minutes, you know, to interact and then make contributions and also express ourselves as far as the goodness of God is concerned. Praise the Lord. So it takes God's goodness for us to be here this evening. I so much appreciate us for coming. In fact, I'd like us to put our hands together for ourselves. You know, we're coming from towards gate. We got to this, just after UCH. And then we just said, let's take that place because Mokola was already blocked. We got to that as is, leading to Premier Hotel, completely blocked. As a matter of fact, you know, just to, you know, express or explain the injustice of humanity, you know, to itself, the way we've been able to, you know, play injustice to ourselves. I live with a grandma in my compound, being the landlady, and I remember sharing with me that the flooding that occurred back then, you know, the popular, the notorious flooding in Ibadan, took its source from that water just after what do they call it? Hagodi Gardens. That river there, that's where that popular Ogunpa flooding, I don't know how they call it, that's where it took its source. And presently, there's an attempt to make that oasis an estate. In fact, they've even started loading sands and trying, you know, so I'm feeling that place. I cannot even wrap my brain around it. It's a different thing when you see a stagnant water and you are trying to, you know, sand fill it, or a waterlogged area, you're trying to sand fill it and make something out of it. This is a flowing river. This is a source. Something that a lot of money have been spent, you know, to expand the drainage and all of that. Now there's an attempt to just sand fill it. And that, I'm sure that was what happened this evening. Going to Secretariat was blocked because they say river, there was an overflow of water on the main road from that place. Going to Premier, water was just almost everywhere. And if people start dying from that now, somebody will say and question the goodness of God. Somebody will start saying that, so is God good and this is happening to me? But it's an offshoot of the fallen state of humanity, whereby we could no longer reason and act you know, in the best way that God would have wanted us to act, we now act just anyhow. I pray that we will not fall victim of some of these stuffs in the mighty name of Jesus. I'm sorry for having to share that with us. It was so hot, you know, in my heart while driving down here. You know, many people were delayed because of some of the things that we were talking about. We pray that the Lord will continue to make his goodness to abound towards us in Jesus' name, in this word. And so tonight, like I said, that I will just attempt to... Okay, let me just make this announcement so that I don't forget. Praise the Lord. Evangelism is going to hold on Saturday. So we are encouraged to come together again as we reach out to our neighborhood and, you know, attempt to spread the good news of what God is doing here in our midst and invite others to this church. Every worker must come as a matter of responsibility between 5 and 6 p.m. this coming Saturday. The Lord grants us grace to do that in Jesus' name. The goodness of God, as I attempt to, you know, just go through what we've had in the past 5 weeks. Honestly, I'm just looking at that. So we've had 5 weeks. Glory to God. There were about 4 points I just want to start with tonight as we cast our minds back on some of the things that have been shared here. Very quickly, I'd like us to open our Bibles as we read our main text. Psalm 107. Then we'll read Psalm 119 also. I just want us to read Psalm 107. We'll read just 2 verses, then we continue. Praise the Lord. Psalm 107 verse 1 and 2 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Verse 2 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy." All right, so we started by talking about the fact that there are so many things that we have to cope with in this world, talking about the evils in our days and in our times. One of such that I just mentioned to us now. And you know, you agree with me that evil news spread faster than good news. Of course, as we are seated here this evening, from beginning of today till now, a number of good things have actually happened. Number of children, beautiful children that have been given birth to. Many people that have been, you know, trusting God for the fruit of the womb, and then triplets, twins happening all over the world. And then, of course, today there have been so many bad things. I'm sure the rain that fell tonight, some people have become a victim of some negative impact of that rain. But by the time news will be capturing some of these events as it had happened today, you agree with me that nobody will pay attention to the good things that are happening today. The attention will be drawn so much on some of these evils and woes. And such is life. Such is, you know, the things that we relate with on a daily basis. And so because of that, like I shared with us, there is every tendency to lose mind and lose touch with the goodness of God. Oftentimes, our mind skips, and then we forget that indeed the goodness of God is still here with us. Because of our personal challenges as well, we tend to even doubt the goodness of God. Like we read from the book of 1 Samuel chapter 27, verse 1. I will appreciate the media, you know, projecting some of these Bible passages, because we're not going to be reading because of time. You know, because of our personal challenges and things that we struggle with on a daily basis, we are not exempted as believers. We are not exempted. In 1 Samuel chapter 27, verse 1, David was in a very terrible, uncertain situation. Of course, he feared for his life. And all his attempt was just to keep safe and escape the terror from the king, King Saul. But of course, he had forgotten that where God took him from, all the while, it had been the goodness of God. The sustaining power of the goodness of God had led him through, escaped the mouth of the lion, escaped the arrow from Saul when he was angry. That same goodness had preserved the throne for him. If he knew all of this, he wouldn't have said what he said. He said, "Now I know that I shall perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. Now I shall escape." That was a statement of doubt. It was a statement of fear. It was a statement of forgetfulness. He failed as that. It might even be just for 30 minutes. It doesn't really matter. But it happens to us because of our human nature. We lose mind. You are in a bad debt. You forget that God had provided for you before and has sorted your needs out when you least expected. You are suddenly in some bad health. And then all of a sudden, you forget that God had healed you in time past and you fear for your life. Something happened, you know, the very first session we had here, if you remember, I shared with us the testimony of how God had kept me for 20 years without any sickness, without having to, you know, visit the hospital, actually. Because there will be times you have a headache, you have some feelings of malaria and all of that. Or that you now decide to go to hospital, you are treating malaria, you are treating this and all of that. For 20 years, it had not happened to me. Trust me, you know what happened? On Tuesday, that particular day that we had this teaching, I slept with, we had a number of children in the sitting room with us in the house. So I decided to sleep in the sitting room. So I slept with two boys on the same mattress. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, I could not imagine what happened to me. It was like a spell. Something heavy tormented me. And I was like, what's happening? Before I know it, I was shivering. I was feeling feverish. Then it continued like that till the following day on Wednesday. Then I said, what's happening? Then catarrh started coming and then I had to buy drugs to treat catarrh and all of that. But lo and behold, this thing didn't cease. On Thursday, I was to have a program on Friday and I was right in the middle of the program. I was the one putting the program together. This thing was not, my throat was already aching. So that when you swallow, you feel the pain. So when I visited the pharmacist at Kunlera, I said, this is the way I'm feeling. And I'm feeling like I want to have catarrh and all of that. Then the person said, that's a sign of malaria. The moment you could not swallow and you are feeling pain, so I was going to gave me drugs for catarrh. Gave me, said, you have to treat malaria right now. And so, of course, I didn't want to take that route. I thought it was something just minor and all. But I remember I have some meeting on Friday, and then on Sunday I was to preach again. In fact, I was almost going to call you, sir. This one is a public confession. I was almost going to call it that, sir. This is what is happening. My throat is aching. Something terrible is happening. But of course, I didn't doubt the fact that God was going to get me sorted. And so I just took the malaria tablet and the catarrh. I took time to sleep. I had very, very well. In fact, my wife said, I started putting up weight at that time. But I remember the goodness of God. That momentary stuff, that temporal down, you know, that temporal illness didn't at any point in time make me to doubt the goodness of God in my life. And by weekend, I was completely whole. Of course, I came to church on Sunday and I had to do my bit on Sunday with the help of God. Nobody knew that I went through all of that. But sometimes we go through all of these and the attempt is to make us to doubt, to make us to feed down and begin to question the goodness of God. So it happens to every one of us. And the essence of this teaching is for us to come up with understanding and be empowered with such understanding so that we won't have to give in to the deception of the devil. Everything that the devil does is to bring us to a point that we begin to cast doubt on the integrity of his word, on the integrity of his character, on the integrity of his conduct. That's what the devil is all about. That has been his work. Then again, we said about the fact that there is falsehood everywhere. Of course, in this age and time, falsehood is rife. And then truth is scarce. Everywhere you go to, you see people fighting the truth. The moment somebody said this is the truth, somebody is ready to fight it and contend it. But if it is falsehood, everybody will accept it. Everybody will accept the lies all around. And so for us as believers, it's important for us to stay our ground, stand on our feet. Bible talks about the fact that our feet short with the gospel of truth. That's what the Bible says. We are readily prepared as a soldier for Christ because we will have contentions. There will be storms to challenge our faith. There will be storms, to shift us and to battle our life, our confidence, as a matter of fact. But this truth is going to preserve us. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7, talking about the end time. The people will be ever learning, but not able to come to the knowledge of truth. These days, we now have teachers for us. It is what you want to hear, what you want to know, not the truth, not what you need. That's what is popular, but we need to be wary. We need to be careful. And so the third thing is that believers have great need to understand the goodness of God. We laid so much emphasis on that fact that as believers, because already you're strategic about something, and then you want to eat at that thing. Your whole attempt, your whole calculations, your whole moves is to attack that thing. You know how you're going to be, you comport yourself and the steps, the plans you are making to eat at a target. That's the way the devil is plotting. He's ever plotting means and ways to attack us as believers. For unbelievers, he could take his eyes off them, maybe momentarily, for some times. He doesn't pay attention to them. But not so for believers. Believers are always on the lookout. The devil is always looking for ways to bring us down or to do us evil or harm. But for the goodness of God, we are kept preserved and saved. So, but the moment we begin to stoop low and doubt the goodness of God, we expose ourselves. We become vulnerable. We become a easy catch for the predator. We become a easy catch for the predator because that's what he's looking for. And then we are just positioning ourselves for him to catch us easily. And that's why it is risky for us to doubt. Something that James told us in the book of James about doubt is the fact that such individual will not receive anything from the Lord. Because he says that it's like the waves of the sea being tossed to and fro. Let not that man think that he's going to get anything from the law. Apart from the fact that you're not going to get anything from the law, you are exposing yourself to the attack of the predator, our enemy. Praise the Lord. So like I said, this understanding that believers need is beyond head knowledge. It's an art thing, beyond every controversy. Controversy arises in our heart every now and then, as to the goodness of God. So beyond all of this, we should grow in understanding. Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 to 18. Daniel 3, 16 to 18. That talks about the story of these three Hebrew men in Babylon. And the fact remains that they were already condemned. In fact, there was no way of escape. They knew all of that, but they stood their ground. In fact, I remember listening to a message. Their words were so resonating, were so strong. It was audacious. They didn't give a damn. They were not mindful of their lives. They were so bent on what God can do for them. They went on to say that even if God will not do that for them, they still won't bow to your idol. Such audacity, such boldness, such assuredness, certainty in what God can do. The words were like, "We are not careful in this matter, O King Nebuchadnezzar. We are not careful." They don't care for their lives because they had something bigger than life, and it was the goodness of God. David says at some point in time that thy loving kindness was better than life. Even when this life is failing, when this body is aching, when everything seems like it's decomposing and losing its value, it doesn't reduce the goodness of God. That's what he's trying to pass across. When Joseph, like Prophet Riley said, when Joseph was in the pit, he didn't doubt the goodness of God. He stood his ground. He didn't curse God like Job's wife told him. Curse God and die. He says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth." That Redeemer that he's talking about the goodness of God. He lives and is Jesus. Praise the living name of Jesus. All right, so, like I said, lastly, we are vulnerable to the ease and woes the devil, you know, desires for believers. The moment we stoop low to the doubt, to doubt the goodness of God, the moment we stoop low to doubt the goodness of God, then we are exposed to the ease and to the woes that the devil is ready to throw at us. We went on to talk about what the goodness of God is really. I'm not going to spend more time on this. We read from the book of Psalms, Psalm 119, verse 68. Psalm 119, verse 68. I'm going to read very quickly. Psalm 119, verse 68. Are we still together? Say, "Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes." I have another translation. He says, "You are good and you do what is good." That simplifies it. You are good and you do what is good. In terms of character, in terms of personality, God is good. His goodness is so evident. And in terms of his conduct, apart from his character, his conduct. So in this scripture, we see a combination of God's character and his conduct, both expressing just one thing. What? The goodness of God. Say, "You are good and you do what is good." What a beautiful scripture. And so at times we may feel like that's so simple. God is good and he does what is good. To somebody who doesn't really have an understanding of God, we just trash it. Say, "What are you talking about? God is good and he does what is good. What do you mean? Could God be good and he's doing what is good and I'm going through what I'm going through? Could God be good and he does what is good and we see all these evils all around us?" But we understand from the scripture that the conduct and the character of God, they are inseparable. They are consistent. As a matter of fact, God is pleasant in conduct. He's pleasant in character. In everything that he does, he's pleasant. And you can't contend that. In fact, you can't argue it. It should be an indictment on the part of God to argue the fact. That was what David did, saying that God was the one preserving him all the while. And he had a plan for him. But yet, he stooped low because of a temporal challenge. And he doubted the goodness of God. And that was an indictment. You that I'm planning this for. You that have this, arrangement for. You that had preserved the throne for. I was going to establish my eternal counsel with you All of these huge things. Today, we say that Jesus, the root of David, that internal cancer was resting on this personality. But because of a temporary challenge, he doubted that Saul was going to kill him. But of course, we saw that Saul didn't kill him. The goodness of God over his life manifested. And he became the king. And he's still a point of reckoning. See, tomorrow is still a point of reckoning, because there's no talking about Jesus Christ without mention of David. Praise the Lord. And so, how does God reveal his goodness? That was another thing that we looked at. You know, for individuals, for people who find such statement to be hollow, to be so cheap. For individuals who feel that God is good and he does what is good. These are the ways that God reveals his goodness to us as human. We talked about the natural things, and I told us that that was about the least thing that God uses to express. Because he does that to everyone. Whether you're a believer, whether you're an unbeliever. The sun shines on the good and the bad. You have the moon, the stars, the natural. Everything about nature speaks of the goodness of God. Psalm 19, verse 1. It said, the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. The firmament speaks of, you know, show forth his handiworks. So everywhere in nature, natural things, the air you breathe, you didn't pay for that. You don't need to give your life to Jesus Christ before you could breathe in and breathe out. You don't need to be a prayer warrior before you could breathe in and breathe out. Some of these things that we'll see, we take for granted. Like I said, they are the least thing that God uses, and they are the most insignificant things when we talk about the goodness of God, because we take them for granted. And so, God chooses that to reveal his counsel. The creation of man was another thing that we mentioned. God was deliberate about creating man. He didn't create man for sickness, for sorrow, for death. God didn't intend all of that for man. If anything had happened in the course of events, it wasn't because God was not good or because his goodness was out of place. Of course, we understand that God created man and he made man in his own image, in his likeness. What an expression of the goodness of God. You and I will look at ourselves and we say that we are fearfully and we are wonderfully made. That was the way David expressed it in the book of Psalms. The number three thing that we mentioned was that God longs for a family to further express his goodness. That even after the fallen nature of man, after all the things that have happened to man, God still desires to have a relationship with man. And that's the eternal counsel of God. And when you read through the scriptures, all the stories, whether that story started bad or started good, it was to the intent to bring us into this eternal counsel. Prophet was talking about the story of Ruth, about somebody who had an husband, and then they moved to another place because of family and all of that, and that person died. The husband died. Bad things happen to good people, we say. But of course, God didn't leave her desolate. In the eternal counsel of God, God already knew that the Savior will come from that family. And of course, we saw how the story unfolded and how eventually Ruth became a matriarch that can attribute Jesus Christ to. Even though it was a bad story. But like I told us, that in the goodness of God, he's plotting to turn every bad situation to a good news. Every bad situation, God is always attempting to bring out the goodness out of it. That has been his counsel all through the scriptures. And so for us as believers, we must understand that the creation was entirely perfect. The goodness of God was at display to perfect the work of the creation. And I told us also that God provided sufficiently for his creatures, apart from the fact that creature was in perfect state. God ensured that the creatures were sufficiently provided for. And thirdly, even at the instance of the fallen state of humanity, God made room in recreation. And all of the possibilities in recreation were because of the goodness of God. The creature, the creature and recreation. The goodness of God was seen in all of these three instances. And God was at the goodness of God was at the center of this display. Praise the Lord. And so how did God reveal his goodness? Like we shared, God reveals his goodness, number one, through natural things. Number two, through creation of man and his dealings with man, ultimately. The way God deals with us as human. We read from the book of Psalm chapter 8 that David was saying that, why are you so mindful of me, O God? God was mindful of and is still mindful of humanity today. Praise the Lord. God is mindful of us. And so we must come to this realization that God is mindful of us. We must come to this understanding that God is mindful of us. I'm going to skip some things because of time. So there is an appropriate response to the goodness of God as we come to this understanding. Number one, I said to us that we will not struggle to rejoice. Rejoicing might be a big tax. You know, sometimes when things are bad or when things are not the way we want it, okay? Sometimes the way things turn out could hinder us from expressing that joy in our heart. But from this understanding, you know that even in bad situations, the joy of the Lord is still your strength. That's what will keep you moving. God didn't promise a rosy world for us. In fact, the impression is that this world, we're going to have it tough and there will be tribulation. But say, be of good cheer. That's a deliberate thing. That's an intentional thing. Be of good cheer. So find expression of joy. Find joy to express when things are bad. Be deliberate about it. It's tough. It's hard. But that's the way to go. And so your response is that you rejoice in the goodness of God. Be deliberate about it. Wake up in the morning and tell God how good he is, how pleasant he is. Number two, you will not struggle to rejoice. Number two, you are satisfied with rest. Your mind is just at rest. Guaranteed alone by his goodness. So like I said, it's a position of absolute trust and faith in God. When your heart is at rest, Bible says that even men, when men say there is a casting down, then my soul will say there is a lifting up. Everywhere is falling apart, but you are still standing. You're still standing. Standing in the confidence that God is good. Praise the Lord. I have to run. Time is going. Number three, you cease to shy away from taking risks. That's another critical thing. That's another critical stuff that you want to take risk. That word risk is an English word, of course. But the way we express it in Christianity, in faith, is that you want to take a step of faith, right? We've told ourselves times without number that life itself is a risk. Every day we live in uncertainty. So many things are uncertain as far as life is concerned. Bible itself says that sufficient for the day are the evil thereof. So on a daily basis, there are a number of evil things that are bound to happen. But that will still not deter you from taking steps. You still want to make life to count. You still want to attempt great things. Because they that know their God, Bible says they will be strong and they will do exploit. Even when things are so harsh, in Nigeria now, by the grace of God, things are not harsh for us as God's children. But in terms of economy, in terms of security, things are not the way we want it. But yeah, we still step out. We still attempt projects. People are still doing lofty things. People are still winning awards. People are still graduating from schools. It might be tough, But because we understand the goodness of God, we still find expression in all of this mess. Praise the Lord. And so, God is always seeking means to make known his goodness. And so the last thing that we're going to look at before I begin to ask us to make contribution is that in God seeking to bring man into his family, in God revealing his goodness to bring humanity into a relationship, because that has been his desire from beginning, from the foundation of the world. Even when there was flooding, God still attempted to raise a family from Noah. I shared with us, I think, last week or 2 weeks ago. When that failed, he moved on to Abraham. He called Abraham out of idolatry, a background, and was willing, ready to establish his covenant with him. As a matter of fact, he established his covenant with him. And today, we say, Abraham, blessings are mine. He was the father. He's the father of faith, of course. And the teaching of faith found root in that step that Abraham took. The Bible says he trusted God. He believed God, and it was counted for him for righteousness. So God brought out of a fallen humanity, a chosen people, the people of Israel, who are the original custodian of the counsel of God. Today, how did God begin that move? How did God begin that move? He began the move by calling them out. The same way you and I have been called out from this wicked world. Say, be ye separate from among them. Have a relationship with me. That's the intent of God. That's the intention of God. That's the desire of God, to bring us into a relationship, to share family with us, and become co-heirs with Jesus Christ. Bible says we are seated with Jesus Christ in the heavenly places. One thing that I want us to take from this whole review is that the character of God and the conduct of God, they are consistent. I said that earlier. And in showing to us and in revealing his goodness to us, apart from the fact that he said it ahead of time, he went on to demonstrate it. Bible says that when man was still in sin, he gave us Jesus Christ. He died for us. Bible says if he could give us Jesus Christ, how shall he not freely give us all things? How shall he not freely give us all things? Romans chapter 8 verse 32. And so in revealing his goodness, his heart was expressed. His conduct was expressed with the act of giving, and he gave us Jesus Christ. And that's the way God designed to bring humanity into family, into a relationship. That's the way God, worked it out. His eternal counsel was revealed in redemption. That was where we stopped last week. That his eternal counsel was revealed through the redemptive plan. And what was redemption? Redemption is that Jesus Christ paved way for humanity by laying down his life for us as a ransom. As a ransom. Let me not forget to share this with us, that the redemption plan of God revealed to us a new dimension of the goodness of God. Number one, three things. The goodness of God is recreative. I wrote here that creation, man messed it up. At creation, man messed it up. But the redemption plan of God restored it through recreation. Number two, regenerative. The goodness of God is regenerative. What happened to man? Man took up another nature when man fell. And in the redemption plan, God gave us a regenerated life. That was what God did for us. He says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Number three, the goodness of God is restorative. Man had lost it
when man fell. And three things I told us that man lost. Man lost his purpose, man lost his provision, and man lost the possibilities. Every now and then I pray, God, I'm open up to all the possibilities that is in you. Because when we are in God, there is no limit, there is no boundary to how God will express his goodness. All that is expected of us is that we are available and we are open. Praise the Lord. I'm going to stop here. There are consequences to these losses. Like I said, when we lost all of these things, when man lost all of these things, he lost his identity, lost his inheritance. But in the goodness of God, all were fully restored. And so in the New Testament, the understanding that we gain in the goodness of God, you know, God can choose to express his goodness by blessing people like he did in the Old Testament. Made their life extraordinary. We read Hebrews chapter 1, that God at sundry times chose to speak to us through prophets. And what were the prophets doing? They were demonstrating the power, the moves of God. As a matter of fact, Moses was somebody that the children of Israel said that we don't want to have any dealings with God. Just go to God on our behalf. And when you are done, come and manifest. All we are mindful of is his acts. Give us bread to eat. Give us water to drink. Take us through the Red Sea. All of those things were inconsequential, were so insignificant to the eternal counsel of God. The Bible says concerning Moses that he knows the ways of God. But the children of Israel, they only know and understand the hearts. So no matter how God chooses to express his goodness in all of the New Testament, cross the Red Sea, you know, fought lion, defeated, you know, helped them to defeat their enemies and all of those things that happened. Nothing to compare with what Christ came to do. And that's the crescendo, the climax of the good, of the expression, of the manifestation of the goodness of God. And that's why today we could boldly say that the goodness of God is fully expressed in the gift of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the goodness of God personified. That was the expression. Bro Femi said that last week. The goodness of God, Jesus Christ is the goodness of God personified. Fully in demonstration, in conduct, in character, in manifestations. Whether yesterday, today, and forevermore, we find it in Jesus. Glory to the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. All right, so I want us to just talk in the next 15 minutes and then we call it a day. So I'm sure we've been blessed. Can we have microphone? I'd like us to talk to what we've had in the last 5 weeks. This is how God has blessed me. This is the angle that I view the goodness of God. This is the perspective that I gain. This is the way I feel this is going to help me. So those, I'm giving us Orijo to, so there is no particular, I'm not asking us what is the goodness of God. In fact, that one is not even important. Like I shared with us that you can talk about how America is. America is this. In fact, there is this club in America. Was it Messi that played in America lately? You can talk about all of those facts and details. And as a matter of fact, until you have an experience, you are there. You are just telling us stories. Okay? So you can talk about the goodness of God is this, the goodness of God is that. But this is how it affects my life. Okay, praise God. So let me have our response. Let me have our contributions. All right? Anybody wants to volunteer? And there is silence in heaven. Praise God. Microphone. Okay, let's start from the back now. Okay, sir. All right, sir. Thank you, sir. Okay, Pastor Williams. So this side is taking the lead, and then we'll come back to maybe the second row, and then maybe the last row. All right, so everybody. Okay, not everybody. Praise God. Thank you, sir.
So, Brother Elijah, thank you for message with us on the goodness of the Lord. And I trust that the Lord God Almighty has opened our eyes to see his goodness from another perspective. Now, I just have some few things to add. Number one, there is one of the major reasons why the word of God is given to us is that we, as Christians, will not live ordinary life. That's one of the reasons. You know, just guys said in John chapter 6, verse 63, that it is the spirit that quickeneth. He said, the word that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So when you will receive the word of God, just like we have received the word of God through the message that is shared with us on the goodness of the Lord, we have to trust in the goodness of the Lord. Just like David said, he said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord. Now you see, things happen around us. Contrary things, negative things happen around us. But we as believers, we must see things from the perspectives of God's word. Like I said, we receive the word of God. We have the word of God so that we will not live our lives like ordinary, like mere men, like ordinary people. No matter what is going on in Nigeria today, you have to convince yourself and persuade yourself that it's going to be well with you. And as that's an act of God's goodness, trust in the goodness of the Lord. Believe it. Be conscious of it. Say it. Confess it. That is good. He said, I believe to see the goodness of the Lord. You see, and if you believe to see it, you will see it. Praise the Lord. And then I have several here, but you see, you have to also trust God that his goodness, in his goodness, it will sustain you. In times of famine, people are saying there is no God will, in his goodness, because you are God's child or you are God's children, he will sustain you. No. Believe that he will provide for you. Believe that he will sustain you. Believe that it will be well with you. All these things, you see, it has to come from you believing God's word. Praise the Lord. Like it was sharing about with us, the story of redemption. The story of redemption is a story of the goodness of the Lord to us, to humanity. And we have to believe it and live our life in the goodness of the Lord. Always walk in this consciousness that God is good. Now, there's a verse that I read with my children. It said, truly, the Lord is good to Israel. Not only to Israel, the Lord is good to his people. Look at it from any angle, from any dimension. The Lord is good. And convince yourself and persuade yourself that even in this present situation, I don't know the present situation that you're going through, judge God faithful. He is still good. Praise the Lord.
Thank you so much, sir. Please, let's appreciate. Okay. Any other person? Pastor Williams, okay. Please. Let's come to the front.
Praise the Lord. People of God, if there is anything that should make us, you know, glad as children of God, is his goodness. Will he not be the goodness of God? I can assure us that most of us would not have, you know, been here tonight or even believing. Cast your mind back. You are classmates. Those you were born with them, you are age mates that are not even more living. They are not living. And those whom you eat school with them, some of them fall down by the roadside. But look at where you are today. All these things can, you know, point to the goodness of God in our life, that he loves us. There are sometimes, you know, one sickness or the other might have hit you that you never thought you would survive it. But here you are. It is nothing but the goodness of God. And as a Christian, you know, when I look back and I consider the assurance of salvation through our faith in Christ, it bugs my mind and it makes me rejoice. Because way back in the Old Testament, Moses was telling God that, brought out my name from the book which you have written. And God said, I will not brought your name. If those who sin against me will I do what? Brought their name from the book of life. This gives us the assurance of salvation that the moment we believe in Christ, heaven is guaranteed. You don't have to get to heaven before you know that you are saved. If you are serving the Lord, you know that you are serving God. In Luke chapter 10, when Jesus sent the disciples, the 70, they returned and they were rejoicing that demons and powers of we did, the blind were seen, the dead were risen. And Jesus said, in this rejoice not, but rejoice because your names are written in the book of life. So as you are seated here, you don't have to die before you know you are going to heaven. If you did not compromise and you stand righteous with God, heaven is guaranteed. 1 John 5:12 say, you know, if you have Christ, you have life. So we are children of the Most High God. Heaven is guaranteed. We don't have to doubt because our names are written in the book of life. All these things are goodness of God. So let us rejoice because heaven is guaranteed. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise God. John chapter 10, verse 28. It says, and I give unto them. Says John 10 verse 20, he says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of man. That's talking about the fact that God has redeemed us, and we have this assurance. You can bank on this word that nothing is going to pluck us out of the hand of God. When we rest in this assurance, when we trust in this assurance, somebody ask a question, that can I frustrate the goodness of God? Somebody was listening to us online. Anybody wants to respond to that? Can I frustrate the goodness of God? Okay, bro, come to the front, please. Thank you very much.
Good evening, church. Yeah, based on my own understanding, we can never frustrate the goodness of God. Because based on personal occurrence, I know that God's goodness can never be frustrated. We have done a lot of things. I personally have done a lot of things as a Christian and as human being. And it has gotten to a stage, I can remember then, while I was in school, there are stages in my life that I just think about it and I'll be like, God, are you still here for me? God. He has always been good to me. Trust me. Even if I sinned from today to tomorrow, if I ask one thing or the other from him, I trust him to do that thing, trust me, God will do it. It is not by our own righteousness. The scripture has already said it, that we are not saved by our own works. It's not by the work of our hand. But when it gets to stages in life, you realize that you don't feel joy, you don't feel peace in your heart. And I tend to wonder sometimes, God, are you still here for me? God, are you still good? Can I still feel you? And there are times I would know within myself. And if I'm still feeling conflicted about that, at some point, he has even sent someone to me. Like, I was still battling with, God, are you still there? God, are you still here for me? I've done this, I've done that. Am I still your son? And God will still find a way. There was a night he actually told me in my ear, I heard it really, that even before you ask for forgiveness, I have forgiven you. I can never forget that. Even if I find myself lost, I remember that statement that even before I ask for forgiveness, he has forgiven me. Then what else do I need? Just to ask for it. And I know that he has done it. So Hallelujah. We can never run out of it.
Praise God. Thank you so much. Put your hands together. All right. Another way to ask that question is that, can God cease to be good? Is it possible for God to stop being good? Somebody wants to talk from the back, sir, please. I'm sorry. Daniel, right? Please come. Romy, why do you want to say something? Okay. Please have time. Please just come.
Hallelujah. Good evening, church. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. So, okay. Thank God that we are in the era of grace, the era of Jesus Christ. Now, in Old Testament, something happened. 2 Kings 17. Bible said, verse 18, the Lord became so angry with Israel that he removed them from his sight. Only the tribe of Judah was left. God was so angry because that scripture, you have to be reminding them of how he saved them, how he did a lot of things. And God was so angry with them that he took them out of his sight. He left only the tribe of Judah. So what I want to bring out is, you know, the scripture even said it in, I think in New Testament, that can we continue in sin and grace abound? It's not possible. It's not possible. And one of the things is, you can't frustrate his grace, but you can make it work against you. We may not frustrate it, but now, how can we make it work against us is, you know, when you are not embracing something, the thing will definitely work against you. Let's look at this scripture, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, whosoever believe will not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, there's that grace that, okay, the grace for salvation is available. You can decide if you will embrace it or you won't embrace it. I don't know if you understand. Yeah. You can decide, I will embrace this thing, I'm not embracing it. Then it's not God's fault. It's not the one making the grace to work against you. You are the one who decided it. I don't know if you... Thank you.
Yeah, time is running.
Sorry, I just want to react to what he said. When he said, if he can sin from now till tomorrow, and you know, we still know that, yes, God is good generally. And I think there's a scripture that says where I think in First Corinthians, I said, hand him over to the devil. It was even Paul that was saying it, that God said we should hand, you know, a man over to Satan. So it shows that, you know, God's goodness, you know, is everywhere. But just like he said, you know, he actually spoke my mind that you can actually frustrate it. Personally, yourself. It's not as if, you know, God is not good in any way.
Okay. I will continue this conversation next
week. Okay. I don't want us to lose focus and deviate. We're talking about the goodness of God, the nature of God, that God is good. I asked the person beside me, I said, are you good? She said yes. I said, do you get angry? She said yes. I said, does your being angry mean you are no longer good? She said, I said, no, don't say about to some people. We're talking about the goodness of God. Are you a good person? Because you are good to your child, do you discipline your child? Doesn't mean you are no longer good. So don't let's confuse issues about sinning and grace. And God's nature is good. In your being good, there is good. When you want to be good to someone who is so bad, you can show tough love. You hit your children. Doesn't make you bad. You see, it's God's nature to be good. It's God's nature to love. But that doesn't mean he won't discipline, right. He won't rebuke.
Praise God. There's a question I'm going to throw to this. And then probably will continue next week. I'm coming, sir. No, we have not answered. We have not answered. That's what I'm saying. I'm throwing a twist to it. When God will be throwing people into hellfire at the end of it, could we still say that God is good? I want you to think about that. All right, bro Lalu. When people will eventually find themselves in hellfire, will it be an act of wickedness or the goodness of God?
Praise God.
All right.
Hallelujah. I just want to corroborate the fact that God is good. Let's say to that one. Of God. So the fact that God is good, that doesn't mean... The Bible says the grace of God has appeared to all men. So it is depend on you. It is incumbent on you to take that grace. It is incumbent on you. If God says, I love you so much, and you are saying, no, you don't love me. No, you don't love me. God will not force it down your throat. It is for you to take the responsibility of saying, God, I believe you love me. and I want to embrace this love. Do you understand? So you frustrating the grace of God is from the person itself. Do you understand? It's from the person. It's from you. If you want to frustrate it, it depends on you. The grace of God is just there. The goodness of God is just there. But if you want to frustrate it, it is your responsibility.
It's on you.
You can frustrate it yourself if you want to. Praise God.
Yeah, praise God. Okay, so I want to share a personal experience. In 2014, December 2014, I and my family, we were involved in a gasoline motor accident. And my car was, it became scrap. I think I sold the scrap for 18,000 or so. Something. And it was so terrible that many of us were supposed to go through surgery. I remember Dr. Inelorin telling my dad that we should go and look for 1.4 million or something. You know, things like that. I did CHL, I did MRI, did all sorts of tests. Said this, that, you must have lost your memory and stuff. But something stood out. We were going for my younger brother's wedding at Port Harcourt. So just before we entered Port Harcourt, Elele, we had an accident. Now, when I was on admission, two pastors from Port Harcourt Church, Stone Church, came to visit at the hospital. And so I remember my brother, elder brother, telling me a story that my mom, somebody told her that don't travel, because if you travel, your family, I see blood. I said, so, and I told the pastor, I said, but these people, they knew. Somebody told them, why did they allow us to travel? Why didn't they tell us? Why did they do that? The man said, shut up your mouth. You, what did you see? What did God tell you before you traveled? That thing hit me. Because I was going to start to doubt God's goodness. And that just struck it off. Like, guy, why are you even sensitive yourself? What did you hear? What did you see about this trip? And so when we came back after I was well and all the stuff, I remember at the Young Men's Fellowship, we used to do this personality of the day. So when it was my turn and they were interviewing me, somebody asked the question, when you had this accident last year, did you question God, why me? I said, no. He said, but why? I said, why not me? Who should it be? If it was not me, who do I wish it was? That I didn't ask why me. And he said, but normally you should ask God now. God will tell you. So when he tells me what happens, it will reverse the accident or so. Let me focus on my relationship with God and ask better things than asking why me. So what I'm saying in essence is that asking why me, as far as I'm concerned, it's just a waste of time and, you know, your slot with God. So use it for better stuff, you know. So because you already doubted God's goodness at that point, that's why you're asking, why me, why me? So if you don't feel loved by God, if you're not feeling the goodness around you, it's because you have distanced yourself from that goodness. It's always there. It's like there's nothing new God will do for us. If you are sick, praying that God heal me is a wrong prayer. He has healed you. Just receive it. Embrace it. And then it becomes yours. Praise God.
Praise God. All right. Please, we're going to stop now. And possibly, Pastor will decide whether we're going to continue this conversation next week. Okay. Mr. Comfort, please come. Please, let's put our hands together for her.
So I just want to add to what Bro Lalo said, that the definition of goodness is God giving us things that we don't even deserve. It's quite different from grieving the Holy Spirit. So I want to guess the person asking the question is mixing it up with, because if you grieve the Holy Ghost, he can leave you alone. But the goodness of God cannot. Jeremiah 29, for the thought he has towards us is of good and not of evil. 1 John says, he is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. So it's just his nature. So you cannot frustrate God's goodness, but you can grieve the Holy Spirit.
Praise
thank
God.
Thank you so much. Let's put our hands together. All right. Let's call it. It's been a wonderful time, no doubt. And I trust God that God is going to reveal himself to us personally. Personally, he's going to give us insight that is customized to us. And that's the best way we can approach these lessons. So that of a certainty, beyond any doubt, beyond every controversy, we will not have issues with the goodness of God. Like Paul said, I am fully persuaded, for I know whom I have believed. Like I said, nobody can persuade me otherwise, as far as God's goodness is concerned, because I've experienced it personally. Praise the Lord. Can we rise to our feet? Hallelujah. Let's just share the grace together in fellowship, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Rest and abide with us now and forevermore, in Jesus' name. May I sorry for taking extra minutes. We allowed it, all right.